This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Welcome. Thank you for joining me. Please open your King James Bibles to the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 14, where we left off last time. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 14. Before we begin, I want to invite everyone under the sound of my voice to come to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, on Sunday, April 1st at 5 p.m. for a beautiful Celebrate Our Christ, Our Passover Lamb, the Death, Burial, and Resurrection of Jesus program called The Cross, The Blood, The Heart. Scott is joining me and we're going to put our talents together to give you a beautiful worship service with a word and a moving picture and communion. That's Sunday, April 1st, 5 p.m. here at my school. Come every Sunday, 5 p.m. for the word and prayer. And come on Wednesday, 6 p.m. for the word and warrior prayer. And every Thursday, I open the door from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Scott meets me here. We pray for the sick. We cast out devils, raise the dead, and all that good stuff. You don't do that? You're not normal. And so now we have the Song of Solomon. For those of you who've been away for a while and forgot what this is all about, Song of Solomon is a prophecy of these end times. Paul says these things happened to them in the Bible for an example, for instruction for those of us at the end, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The Song of Solomon means a Shehasheri, the most beautiful song. It was always sung at Passover. That would be when we celebrate Jesus, our Passover Lamb. There are four main characters. It's a play. There's the beautiful Shulamite girl, and she represents, she's a person, she represents the very elect of God's church, men and women, boys and girls, who are not going to be deceived by the soon coming Antichrist. She remains true and waits for the Lord Jesus. Then in the play, there's the wonderful shepherd boy. He represents wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus. They are, of course, madly in love. And you see, an elect is madly in love with Jesus, and we wait for him. Then there's the third character. He is King Solomon, and he's the richest man in the world, and he owns everything. He represents the soon-coming Antichrist. All the world will call him God, except the very elect represented by the Shulamite girl. And everybody will think he's so wonderful and call him the Savior. And then the fourth group of characters are the daughters of Jerusalem. These would be those in the Christian church who are going to worship the Antichrist, thinking he's Jesus. They're actually going to go to a marriage supper, thinking it's the marriage supper of the Lamb, but they will marry the Antichrist, who is the devil in his Jesus costume. Remember Matthew 25, Jesus says, 10 virgins, 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. So we left off last week. The beautiful Shulamite girl is being wooed by King Solomon, and he's invited her to her palace, his palace. He's set a banquet there, a banqueting house, and he's trying to woo her and get her to love him. He's already got the daughter of Jerusalem. Everybody else already has married him. See, when Satan comes, he's going to have the elect delivered up to him in Jerusalem. Everybody else will already love him, and the deceived part of the body of Christ. We will go and be delivered up to him. Do not fear, not one hair of your head shall be harmed. And it is our purpose and our destiny, for then the Holy Spirit is going to speak through us, and then the end shall be come, and the gospel shall be preached everywhere. So this is a type of that. We left off last week with her, the Shulamite girl, there in the banqueting hall, waiting for King Solomon to come in. To keep herself close to her shepherd boy, she talks to him mentally. And see, even though we can't see Jesus, we, all of us who are Christians, have the Holy Spirit. We can commune with him 24 hours a day. And when the Antichrist is here, and when the elect will deliver it up to him, do not be afraid. The Holy Spirit is right there, and he's going to tell you what to say. So she is in her mind talking to the wonderful shepherd boy and telling him how much she loves him. But she's really bodily in the king's palace. Here we go. Verse 14.
14, O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in
the secret places of the steer. So she says, I feel your presence here so much, even though I cannot see you. You're my turtle dove, like a little bird would hide in a cleft of a rocks. But there you are in the stairs. That's the stairway to heaven. Remember Jacob's stairway? In other words, God is always there, and the angels are all around. And she says, I know that you're here. And she completes her thought. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. As the Antichrist time, which has been shortened by the elect's sake, Mark 13, and to 5 months, Revelation chapter 9, as it goes to a close, those of us who elect will say, Lord Jesus, it's been wonderful communing with your spirit and living life by the Holy Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are all the sons of God. But it's time for you to now come, Lord Jesus. So she says, come, shepherd boy, how about you just showing up here? Okay.
How sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely.
You are so beautiful. There will be nothing more beautiful than for an elect to look up after being delivered up to Antichrist, after watching the whole world and half the body of Christ worship the devil, thinking he's Jesus, to look up and watch that heaven open like a scroll, and this beautiful Jesus come. How beautiful you are indeed.
15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine.
Now, in the natural, the Shulamite girl had been tending her vineyard. And when the vine is beginning to blossom, there's a blossom there. But if a literal little fox comes and knocks that, if that blossom falls to the ground, the fruit is dead. The little foxes just mess up the vineyard. Here's what it means spiritually. The foxes are Cain's descendants, C-A-I-N. Remember Cain, first murderer? His descendants, and they're called the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. They say they are our beloved brother Judah, but they're not the synagogue of Satan. And Cain was the child of the devil when the serpent beguiled Eve in the garden. What she's saying is that the Kenites are here forming this banquet. See, when Antichrist comes, all of Cain's children who say they are the real thing, and all of the fallen angels, Satan's children, the Kenites, they're going to gather around their father and call him the Savior. And so she says, they're spoiling the vineyard. But I can tell you the Kenites have already spoiled the vineyard. In the United States of America, which is called in the book of Psalms the vine, because 10 tribes of us live here, we already have 4 dynasties that have been hidden, that have been destroyed with this country. One is politics. Need I say more? All of that swamp stuff you're seeing unveiled up there, that precious Donald Trump is trying to handle with God and himself and us praying for him. All of that, that's the Kenites. See, that's the devil's children. And look what they do in your school. Children don't even know the history of America. And then they try to get you so that you don't know whether you're a girl or boy. That's nuts. Of course you know. And they don't teach you the right thing. So parents at home have to make sure that children get taught the right thing. And look what they've done to the economy. Until President Trump came along, the economy was in the tank. And of course, religion is worst of all by not teaching the pure word of God. So she says, pull up these, separate the wheat from the chaff. We do know that the Bible tells us that when Jesus comes, the reapers are the angels, and they're going to separate the tares from the wheat. They're going to separate these Kenites, the devil's children, from God's children. You want to be on the good side.
For our vines have tender grapes. Verse 16. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He faileth among the lilies.
I memorized this verse many years ago, and I say it every day. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. You ever feel unloved? There's you a good word, young people. I am my beloved. My beloved's mine. He feedeth among the lilies. We learned last week that she, the Shulamite, the elect, are like a lily. It means the glory of God is upon you because the anointing's on you, and you glisten in a world filled with thorns and briars and Kenites, and it looks beautiful to the Lord. And so she says, you feed me. You feed me until I want want no more. For you see what an elect wants. We don't look for the worldly things. We look for our God. We look for His Word. And we open our mouth wide and He fills it with His Word. But did you know that when the Lord, the Good Shepherd, sees you seeking after the Word, the hungry after the Word, do you know what it does to him? It fills him up too. He too is satisfied. Amen. Remember the woman at the well? And Jesus was hungry at first. And when His disciples came back, they said, "Did you eat some food?" He said, "I have meat to eat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me." By ministering to the woman who received His Word, his appetite was filled. Now, you've been trying to get God to fill you up. How about you filling Him up? How about you seek after His Word? Get the depth of that Word. And not if one of you is too young to do that, get that Word. Your life will change forever and better.
17. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away.
So she says, "Come, the second coming, the daybreak." Psalm 22, the dawning of a new day, the day of the Lord when He comes. What shadow will flee away? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. No more death. Jesus defeated death. Hebrews 2:14.
Turn, my beloved, and be like a roe and a young hart.
Come quickly, like these rabbits, they will run really fast. Do you know the book of Revelation says that when Jesus does come, that when he comes quickly. In other words, okay, I'm ready to come. Zoop. In other words, it seems like forever that he's making up his mind. But when he comes, boom, just what she asked.
Upon the mountains of Bethlehem.
Okay, the mountains of Bethlehem in the original Hebrew means a mount of separation, a mount of division. When the Lord Jesus comes back, He's going to separate the sheep from the goat. He's going to separate the tares from the wheat. You know, the devil now is a master of division. He's divided our country. He's divided the church. There's nothing in the Bible that says we're supposed to have all these denominations. Denominations mean schism, division. You're not supposed to have any. But God is going to separate the devil's kids from His. And that's what she says, come and clean this out. That those of us who love you, Lord Jesus, may gather around you forever.
Chapter 3, verse 4. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth.
Now the Shulamite, what's happened here? The king invited her to the palace, and then when the elect are delivered up to Antichrist, we're going to have about 10 days, each one of us, so we have to stay in the palace. This is no hanky-panky here. It's just, she's just gone to her room, they've had the banquet, and she can't sleep in there because she misses her shepherd boy. She's hoping he's going to tap on the door and come. How many times have you said, "Come, Lord Jesus," okay?
I sought him, but found him not.
I just thought maybe he would be around the corner. I was walking down the hall here. There's the daughters of Jerusalem. Where's my shepherd boy? I sought him with all my heart. God says to you, if you seek the Lord with all your heart, you'll find him. That's what I did. I was saved very young, and I knew I was called. I didn't know what to call my calling, but I was called, and I knew that. But I knew there was more. I knew there was a gem. I knew there was a jewel. I knew there was a mystery. I knew there was something fantastic. And I sought, and I sought, and I sought in every bush and read everything, and sought. And one day I found him whom my soul loveth, and I would not let him go. I found the truth. When you find the truth, nobody can take it from you. Your life changes forever. You have a stability about you. That doesn't mean you don't have troubles. Lord have mercy, we have enough. But you have something that nobody can take from you.
Verse 2, I would arise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broadways I will seek him. Oh, my soul loveth.
She bolts. She leaves King Solomon's house. She just sneaks out of the palace. I am going to find my wonderful shepherd boy. I know he's around here somewhere. She wasn't impressed at all by being in the palace. There was one thing she sought after, and that was the Lord. I do pray, and all you wonderful young people, Olivia and Max and Ariel and Tanya, I just pray, seek the Lord, seek his truth. Your life will become a dream, and you'll be such a blessing to God and a blessing to mankind. And then whatever happens to you, have the Lord with you, and you'll have an eternal home with him, an eternal reward. Seek the Lord first, always.
Amen. I sought him, but I found him not.
Oh, but I couldn't find him. See, that's what I did. I joined every denomination there was. I said, "Do you know more than I do? I know there's something else in here." Okay, this one teaches that. That one teaches that. Okay, I got one Bible. All right, one Lord, one baptism.
Verse 3, the watchmen that go about the city found me
Now look at that. Somebody snitched on her, probably the daughters of Jerusalem. They said, you know what, that Shulamite woman has escaped. And so they tell the watchman, that would be like our police. And so King Solomon tells them, go find her. I don't want her to get hurt. I want to marry her. See, the Antichrist is not cutting your heads off, unlike those stories. He wants you to love him. He'll offer to pay your mortgage, peace and safety, cause craft to prosper. See, he wants you to love him and marry him, and that's what he wants. So he sends these watchmen to find her. That's the policeman, okay?
To whom I said, saw ye him? Whom my soul loveth.
I love the way she handled that. Instead of saying, oh no, you're going to try to take me back to the palace, she said, have you seen the one I love? Have you seen my shepherd boy? Just in case you don't understand it, watchman, I'm not in love with King Solomon. I'm not in love with the Antichrist. I'm waiting for the seventh trump. Six comes before seven, and I'm not budging till seven.
For it was but a little when I passed from them that I found him whom my soul loveth.
That was like the final test. I mean, she didn't even give in to the police. No, I want my beloved. And then the shepherd boy appears to her. Jesus is coming again.
I held him, and I would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house.
I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him. I would not let him go. Oh, what a foolish person to let go this beautiful love. It's not a story you hear, a soap opera. It's a passionate love inside your heart that just won't ever die. So she says in the natural, we're going to get married. I want to take you to my mother. Her mother was a widow, and she loved her mother. The first thing you do when you find truth is you want to tell the person closest to you, I have found the truth. There's something about it. You can't wait to tell somebody else you love that you have found the Lord, that you have found the truth. You have found the reason why you came through your mother's womb to this planet.
And into the chamber of her that conceived me. 5. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem.
Now, she starts screaming out, the daughters of Jerusalem. Well, where'd they come in? They're peeping out from the terrace of the king's palace. They're jealous of her. They will be the deceived part of the body of Christ who are going to really put down the elect and call us false prophets because we're not going to worship their God because they think that he's Jesus, you see. Remember that they will marry the Antichrist, but they think that he's Jesus. They're watching her. And they saw her escape, and they would like for her to get her comeuppance, because after all, they are the first church.
By the roes and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor awake, my love.
She says, I want you to stop telling that lie that King Solomon is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and my husband. The sixth trump sounds before the seventh, and the Antichrist is six. And seven is not going to sneak in before that. Stop telling that lie. Wait for Jesus, she says. We will say that.
Till he please. 6. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness?
Now the daughters of Jerusalem are speaking. They see popping circumstance. The manuscripts say they see a wedding march. There's a wedding march coming on. Who is this comes out of the wilderness? Who is this nobody ever heard about? And all of a sudden there's going to be this popping circumstance and great big wedding march. Who does she think she is? Who do the elect think they are? The only ones that'll be able to go around Jesus.
Like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense.
You see, they've already married the Antichrist. Incidentally, there's a lot of hustle bustling going on in heaven. They are preparing for the marriage supper of the Lamb. It will be after the Antichrist comes. Some years ago, I have dreams and visions, and one of the dreams and visions God gave me, he took me up a high stair to the door of heaven, and let me look in, and there was wonderful, joyous energy going on there. I didn't see anyone, but I could feel the energy, I could feel the love, and everything was preparing, and they were preparing for a wedding, and tables were set with beautiful white lace cloths, and the tables were decorated with wine-colored napkins and beautiful flowers, and someone says, it's the wedding, it's the marriage supper of the Lamb. You say, well, how's he going to get that down here when he comes? Chariots of fire. If in Ezekiel he brought his throne down, I think he can bring the wedding things down.
With all paddles of the merchant. 7.
So see, that's a wedding march. You hear a band here? All of a sudden, now what is this? It can't be the shepherd boy. The girl wants to marry him, and they love each other. But there's another wedding march. Uh-oh. This is the Antichrist, King Solomon.
Hold his bed, which is Solomon's.
Bed. Now, the bed does not mean a bed like you sleep in. It's talking about, the Hebrew word there is a sedan. It means sort of like a luxurious chair with arms on it, and for you, they can even carry you in it, and it has a great big purple canopy. Purple is majesty. So, King Solomon has got a whole troop with a wedding march, the band's playing, he's got his watchman there, and he's sending the sedan to find the beautiful Shulamite girl and bring her back to wed her. See, the Antichrist is going to offer you the goodies, not cut your head off. He wants you to think he's Jesus, so he'll offer you all kind of good stuff.
60 men about it.
60 people to protect that sedan, okay, so she can get back safely to the palace.
Of the valiant of Israel.
And these are the valiant men of Israel. Now, they should know better. They should know they should not be getting her away from the shepherd boy. And you see, that's the church to see. The saddest thing is that half of the body of Christ have no oil, no light, and will be deceived. Yes, they love Jesus, just never enough to get into the book, chapter, verse, and line of God's word.
Verse 8, they all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his side.
All right, Solomon sends the wedding march. He sends these men, 60 of them, to protect her. They've all got swords. Now, there's something wrong with this picture. Their swords are on their side. You see, if they were the right kind of a Christian, the sword wouldn't be down here in a holster on your side. The sword, Ephesians, I just finished teaching Ephesians chapter 6, is the word of God. It's the tongue of Jesus, a two-edged sword. The word of God in your mouth, not in your hand. Incidentally, young people, God forbid that your school ever be attached. Let me tell you what to do. It'll work every time. Jeremiah 1, God says, when I hear my word, I watch over it and I perform it. Open your mouth and say, it is written, the angel of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him and delivereth them. So 7, and say that, and God will do that. What if 17 people had stood up and said, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Psalm 103 says the angels are around you, but they do not move until you jump start it. You jump start it by saying aloud the word of God. Boy, we put stuff in our children's backpack. We take care of the weather and the shoes and the smartphone. Oh, your children should be screaming the word of God as they go out the door. That's what you do, children. God will not, he will not fail. Get you those scriptures. Parents, get them the scripture. That's it. You don't have to do anything. It is written in Jesus' name, say the Bible, say the Bible, say the Bible. I've been in so many things, just absolutely near death. Say the Bible, and I've been rescued. Amen. God promises that.
Amen.
You're a Christian. You're supposed to believe that.
Yes.
So get the word of God in your mouth and in your children's mouth and do that.
Yes.
See, have you noticed that nobody ever has the answer in the government? What we should do, you need to repent of your sins, and every one of you start living by the Bible. Speak the Bible. What if a whole bunch of these people, when attacked, would stand up and say, just a minute here, the angel of the Lord encamps you. How about the Lord, he covers me with his feathers, under his wings I trust. A woman was walking down New York late one night from work, and the streets were kind of quiet, and this whole gang of hoodlums circled around. They were going to rape her and kill her. And she said, oh, something, the 91st Psalm, he covers me with his feathers, he covers me with his feathers, he covers me with his feathers. They said, we better get away from here, this woman's crazy. The word did it.
Amen.
So that is it. That's what you do. And God will honor the word. He says he watches over his word and perform it. And see, you have to learn, it's not another thing that you, if you would just do that, God will protect you. He watches over his word and performs it.
Because of fear in the night. 9, King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon.
Now they're trying to tell you how he got the sedan there to bring her home. He sent a big old chariot, and the best wood was the cedars of Lebanon.
10, he made the pillars thereof of silver, and the bottom thereof of gold.
In other words, just like a palace.
The covering of it of purple.
Purple, the canopy over there, Majesty. For privacy's sake, she could sit in that, and he could sit in that.
The mists thereof being paved with love.
In other words, he's sending all of this because he wants to marry the beautiful Shulamite woman. The devil is the Antichrist. He's Jesus with his costume on. He knows the elect. We fought him in the spirit in the first earth age. We've taught all of that from the Bible in here. He knows that. And everybody else is going to fall for him. He's so narcissistic. He wants those little tiny group, that little tiny group that does not want him. He can't stand that everybody would not love him.
To the daughters of Jerusalem, 11, go forth, O ye daughters of Zion.
Now, she speaks out to the daughters of, see, they're telling her, get in, Shulamite. Look at that, what he's done for you. You can be the queen of the world. Remember in Revelation 18, the woman sits there on the wine color in the purple. She says, I sit a queen, I am no widow. That's the deceived people like the daughters of Zion. I'm a queen of the world. Shulamite doesn't want to be the queen of the world. She just wants her beloved shepherd boy.
And behold, King Solomon with the crown that his mother crowned him.
So she says, you go. You can have him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, God says, you want to believe a lie? You want to believe that first one coming is Jesus? Go ahead. Go ahead. Do it. It's a point, God says, go right ahead.
In the day of his espousals.
The spousals. He married all those people. Satan's going to have he's going to marry the whole world and have the body of Christ. Just us elect going to hold out, are we not? Yes.
And in the day of the gladness of his heart. Chapter 4, verse 1.
Now the shepherd boy speaks, and we'll just get a couple of verses. He's going to describe her beauty, but I want you to know that he's not talking about the flesh. It has a spiritual significance. When the Lord looks at you, he's not judging to see if your body looks good or if your eyes look good or your feet look good. He knows that's not you. You're a spirit. If you're beautiful to him, it's your heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Everything he's describing has nothing to do with her physical appearance, although this is taught that you could do it that way, but it's not. Because, see, beauty is so much more than skin.
Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair.
You're so beautiful to me, says Jesus to the Shulamite, says Jesus to the elect.
Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks.
Dove's eyes. Dove represents the Holy Spirit. You see things the way the Holy Spirit does. You see beyond the veil. You see the mystery. The eyes of your understanding are enlightened. You're not limited to this little square box. You see God's plan. And I love that about you, my elect, says our shepherd.
Thy hair is like a flock of goats that appear on Mount Gilead.
Now, you say, well, what? Hair's like goats? That's pretty. Yes. Look on top of a mountain, and you see little baby goats. They're called kids, okay? And they are frolicking. They jump and they play. They jump over each other. They're dancing, and they have a mane, and the mane is flying in the breeze, and they're so happy. And he says, you're so beautiful. Oh, the Lord says, elect, you know what I love about you, elect? You're such a free spirit because you have known the truth, and the truth sets you free. And therefore, despite this world of trouble, you dance and you sing for joy because you're free.
Amen. Verse 2. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bear twins, and none is barren among them.
Not at all referring to teeth. What do you do with your teeth? You chew. Psalm 91, blessed the man that walketh not the counsel of God. In your law do we meditate day and night. Meditation in the Hebrew is to, like a cow, chews the cud. We talk, we chew, we take the word of God and we chew it and we chew it some more and we chew it some more. And he says, you are so beautiful because I see that you take that word and you chew it and you chew it and you digest it and you bring it back up again and you meditate on my word day and night. Do you know what would happen if you meditated on God's word day and night? You'd be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Your leaf would not wither, and whatever you do would prosper. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, there's some benefits here.
3. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet.
Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet. In other words, your lips spring forth scarlet, is red, the life of Jesus. Shulamite, I love you. Elect, I love you because you tell the wonderful words of life. In the Bible, there are things that God calls very precious. One is precious to the Lord in his sight is the death of his saints. His blood is precious in Peter. His word is precious. And he also says the lips of knowledge are precious. This is when a man or woman, boy or girl, is anointed and the word of God from the Bible comes through those lips with anointing. He says that is precious. That's like a thread of beauty. So see, none of this is physical. He's not talking about your lipstick. He's talking about the word. May I suggest to all of you, memorize scriptures. Say them in the morning. Say them in the evening. Say them at night. Say them at school. It'll deliver you so much. There's a lady, I used to teach her a whole bunch of children. She had a lot of children. And she said, there's about 6 or 7 of them. She said, okay, everybody, up, school time. And they're all getting from all their rooms, running all over the house. One's brushing their teeth. One's doing this. One's doing that. And she from the kitchen fixing their breakfast screams out a Bible verse. And they say it back. And they go through that till all of them get ready. Then they go out the door and they all stop. They say the scripture again and she sends them off. She says, I'm not letting my kids get out of here without being properly dressed. So we pray that you'll do that. We'll pick it up with a pomegranate next time. That's about all the time I've had. Were you blessed?
Yes.
It's time now for a mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to introduce you to a man of God, my twin friend, the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. What a beautiful word tonight.
Thank you.
Awesome stuff.
Great word.
The word of God.
Huh? Yes.
Okay, our first question. Why does God continually instruct us in his word to shout, cry, and speak?
Because God is the Word. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, before he was a flesh body, he was the Word. Before he was this booklet we call Biblia in the Bible, he was the Word. What do you do with the Word? You make a sound. What did we learn tonight? Death and life is the power of the tongue. You have to activate that Word by making it sound. And he's trying to give you the secret. And that's, yet all of you just run everywhere else but the Word. Open the Bible, memorize the Bible, speak it out of your mouth in Jesus' name, and believe it, and it'll come to pass.
Amen. He spoke that word. That's it. Okay, our second question. Did God's food law in Leviticus 11 change after Jesus paid the sin debt?
No, he says, I did not come to change one jot of the law. He came to pay the sin debt. He didn't come to purify nature's vacuum cleaner so you could eat them. They'll still make you sick.
Amen.
You know, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. It's time now for Scott's stuff.
Jesus charged us in his blood covenant mandate to cast out demons in his name. He went church to church doing so himself. Where does the fear come from that prevents us, the church, from exercising this mandated authority of casting out demons and evil spirits? Gather the people together, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber and the bride out of her closet.
That is so beautiful. Absolutely. Thank you, Scott Merson.
You're welcome.
Yes, we do have power of all the power of the enemy. And when demonic forces are there, and yes, they are released. The River Euphrates has been released, so they are everywhere, as we all know. But we have power over them. I want to pray now for those of you who are sick. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask, please, O Son of Righteous, arise with healing in your wings. Let the laser beams of Jesus' healing virtue flow to the north, the south, and east and west, all through the air, into homes and businesses, into bodies. Wherever there is pain, Jesus bore your pain. Let the pain subside. Give relief in Jesus' mighty name. Where there is something out of joint, put it back in joint. Let it snap back in place in Jesus' mighty name. Where there is a wound of the emotion, pour in the oil and the wine and heal the heart, and heal the broken heart, and heal the broken heart in Jesus' mighty name. mighty name, and heal the stomach, and let things be in divine order, the colon and the bladder and the kidneys and the blood be healed in perfect circulation. Diabetes, you have no power. You go to the abyss in Jesus' name. Let the blood sugar be level in Jesus' mighty name. Let the nerves be unpinched in Jesus' name. Legs walk, eyes see, ears hear. In the name of Jesus, he sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Praise God. We give you glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if you were healed there, and some of you were, please feel free to call me. My announcer's about to give you my telephone number. Leave that on my machine and speak clearly there, and I will pray for you. Now, let's pray for anyone who's not saved. I want you to pray this prayer with me and make Jesus your Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To bless you, Lord.
Bless you, Lord.
And to bless mankind.
And bless mankind.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that, you certainly want to tell me that, too. Don't forget, April 1st, Sunday, 5 p.m., the cross, the blood, the heart. Beautiful presentation here at my school. And every Sunday, 5 p.m., Wednesdays, 6 p.m., Thursdays, 12 noon to 2 p.m. God bless each one of you. Remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock and my twin friend Scott Merson saying we love you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord give you something really happy before the end of this day to make a smile come to your face. In Jesus' name. We'll see you next time. So listen, everybody, remember to go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me to thy cross. Simply to the cross I cling.
Thank you. Yeah.
when deep were the wounds and dark was the night, the promise of your love you proved. Now every battle still to come, let this be our song. It is well.
It is well.
mercy on me. 7 times 7, I've always believed you've got the power, I have the need. Merciful heaven, have mercy on me. Some people want what they deserve, but not me. No, I know my heart too well. I've just barely got the nerve just to make this one request, and I know that you will hear me. Merciful heaven, have mercy on me. 7 times 7, I've always believed that you've got the power, I have the need. Merciful heaven, have mercy on me. This is a place where I can live. Forgiven perfectly, 'cause I got nothing good to give, nothing more than just myself. I know you